Welcome to the Quick 10 podcast, brought to you by QuickTrack, focusing on all things FedCon and cyber defense from different perspectives and different personalities, all in 10-ish minutes. Here's your host, Derek White.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Quick 10 podcast. We are here today in season two, episode two, and today I am joined by Justin Orkett, Director of Cybersecurity for the Aerospace and Defense Market at Microsoft. Justin, thanks for joining me, bud.
Yeah, thanks, Derek, for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm excited to get into this topic today regarding some sizable changes to the CMMC landscape when the rule came out, and talk a little bit about what it looks like from your guys' perspective, what you're seeing, and impacts kind of moving forward here in 2025. Before we get into that, though, if you're a first-time listener, thanks for being here, and or first-time watcher on YouTube, so you can catch this podcast on your favorite platforms, as well as watch the video version of it on YouTube at any time. And if you're looking to subscribe to further episodes, you can also do that from your platforms, but also from our website. You can go search quicktrack.com and find the podcast page and join us there. Future episodes are coming. We've got some pretty exciting stuff to talk about coming up. So there's a little teaser for the next episode that's coming. So, Justin, yes, we're going to talk about the I'll just say this. It doesn't come up enough on one of the seismic shifts in the, we'll call it the accountability and responsibility side of the CMMC rule as it comes to contractors and the affirmation of somebody internally. So there's third-party C3PAO assessments that are going to take place, and there are assessments that will take place that don't include a C3PAO. So can you walk through a little bit on that aspect of what that means, and then we'll get into some, I got some questions I want to ask you regarding the impacts there.
Sure. What CMMC is trying to do is create a new level of accountability within the defense industrial base. So what they want is to see senior business leaders be responsible for making sure that the data that DoD provides is protected. For far too long, defense contractors have had various different clauses and contracts, and they nilly-willy sign off on those clauses without really scrutinizing what it means for them as a business. And what CMMC establishes and requires is for a senior business leader, also called an affirming official, to attest annually that CMMC is being met. So regardless of whether or not you have a C3PAO come in and perform an assessment, that affirming official becomes the responsible party at the business to ensure continuous compliance. And annually, they need to go and, let's say you're an organization seeking certification, you bring in a third party, you only now need to do CMMC every 3 years. On an annual basis, in between those third party assessments, you still need to go and perform a self-assessment and confirm that you're still in compliance with the requirements. So that's the affirming official. There's a lot more at stake now for them to make sure that what they are signing off on is actually being performed.
So to recap that, then, it's to be clear, is from a CMMC certification standpoint, in this case, we'll say level two, you get your certification on whatever date, and that certification is good, if you will, as long as requirements are in place for 3 years, right?
Correct.
The annual side of what's at stake and what's responsible for has been around in NIST 100-171 when it says you will implement these controls, you'll keep them in place, and every year, at least annually, you will, periodically review, at least annually, you will make sure. You will go through an assessment of your implementation and your controls to make sure that nothing slipped through the cracks. So Correct. Really, this is more, yeah, exactly. And then there was the scores, but really, so what you're saying here is that this role of this individual who is senior level, so this isn't just put it on Justin or put it on Derek. This is put it on somebody who understands this, but their job is to say, at this moment in time, this is in place and I'm signing off on this, and I will make sure, as responsibility for me, is to keep it there so that when we make a change, we have to reassess and we have to, right? So is that the importance of that role, is to make sure that it doesn't get ignored for 3 years?
The importance of that role is to ensure accountability. With 7012, so with DFARS 250.204.7012, there was no clear requirement for who needs to attest to compliance within the business, whereas with CMMC, they're saying this is a senior official responsible for the business. So as an IT professional, the affirming official shouldn't live within IT. The affirming official should sit within the business conducting the work. Why? Because this isn't an IT problem. Let me say that louder. This is not an IT problem. This is how you operate as a business, the processes that you have, and how your end users interact with data. What is that data flow? The only person really that has that visibility is the individual running that portion of the business. And that portion of a business has a unique cage code. So the affirming official that runs that business, you know, is the person that'll have to sign off on CMMC. Now, could they have other people sign off on it? Sure. But in years past, there was no clear requirement calling out a individual senior leader to sign off. It could be your sysadmin.
Yep. And sometimes it's for a smaller business, you don't have enough people to pass all these things around. And so you'd put kind of multiple roles and responsibilities on the same person, which it specifically says you shouldn't be doing and can't be doing. So, okay. So then let's talk about the, you know, we kind of highlighted there then the importance of it. So then let's talk about the challenges. And, you know, let's say in this case, I'm the affirming official and I'm working with you as somebody who's helping me do this to make sure that my company, now that I am the person that has to be responsible for this and push accountability where it needs to go, beyond me, I guess, is so talk about that. Challenges, ways to control that. Where do you take it from there?
Sure. So, you know, anytime I'm working with a senior official at any company, I want to help make sure that they understand scope and that the way scope is being defined in CMMC is different than how scope is defined within a DIBCAC audit or within DFARS. And they really need to, the businesses need to take the time and energy to understand how end users interact with data. Where are they sending and receiving it? What applications are processing that data? What tools are interacting with the things that are touching the data, right? Everything is very intertwined. So, you know, step one is helping that executive realize that the entire business, the entire way these end users operate might be in scope. It's not just about where do we store data. It's how do we as a company make sure that our system is protected until we could narrow it down, you know, or until we could evolve business processes. In most cases, business leaders don't know where this data is. They don't have a good handle on where the data is stored. So helping the business executive gain visibility on where are those repositories today, where is data being sent and received, and where is data being stored? And there's easy ways to do that with technology nowadays in order to uncover where any controlled unclassified information is. But it starts with scope, right? Talk to your team about how they interact with this data set, CUI.
Yeah, and you can't just... You know, the world is different than it was 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. You can't just go on Google and search for tools, you know, storage and encryption and transit and monitoring tools, and just go buy whatever fits your budget and, you know, either have somebody who's managing it for you do it or do it yourself. There's more to it than that, right? When it comes to controlling scope and also requirements that go within that, those services that are external or internal.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you think about your scope, there's different types of assets. So an asset you could think of is something physical or virtual. So you have controlled unclassified information assets. Those are things that store, process, or transmit CUI information. It's easy. It's, you know, maybe email, maybe it's Dropbox, maybe it's Box, maybe it's SharePoint. It could be any number of technologies that are sending and receiving data, and then where you're storing that data. As you walk down the different, and by the way, all of those assets need to be FedRAMP authorized or equivalent, which is a pretty high bar, pretty significant. The second category of assets are security protection assets. So this is anything that protects the security of those assets, which think about the amount of assets, the amount of security tools that you have that are protecting the way your business operates. All of that is in scope as well. Now, for each asset category, there's different requirements. Like again, with CUI assets, it's FedRAMP authorized or equivalent. And with security protection assets, you know, they need to be reviewed for the 171 controls. But unless you know how your end users interact with the data, you have no ability to actually protect that data. And unfortunately, a lot of companies start out by saying, let's walk through NIST 800-171 and let's see what controls we have in place. And that doesn't help because where are the controls applied? Are they applied to the right assets? Like, we don't know. So it's a challenge going through this for the first time.
Well, and that's, you know, I'll even flip it on the other side. If you're somebody who's new to the DoD work, new to CUI requirements, that's also a challenge because then you don't know quite yet and you can sit through. But if you're not thinking through data flows and all the where it's going to come from, where it's going to go and how it's going to leave, and you just start with the NIST 171 requirements, you end up in some of these are specific to CUI and some of that's what the program's built for. People get, you get a little trigger happy, I think, sometimes that they budget out for ways to implement and control that scope, but that doesn't really need to happen that way. To your point, you can start small, scale up. Sometimes it's a matter of understanding all that before you can start peeling down. So then talk to me a little bit about the Microsoft side of things. So your customers, they come in all different shapes and sizes, you know, and there's some that have resources, some that don't, some that are, that this is everything. Some of this is part of their business. So talk to me about what they're doing here before we wrap up.
Yeah, sure. And, I just want to highlight a point that you made, which is for small people entering the market, this can be daunting, but there's a really strong ecosystem and community that can help educate you. And, you know, making sure that you select the right partners and the right technology partners is really important. And, I admire all the work, Derek, that you and your team are doing. So related to the work that Microsoft is doing, as you mentioned, we have customers of all different shapes and sizes with all different types of needs. What we're trying to do is make sure that our technology enables our customers to meet their requirements. So not only are we a cloud service provider, so we must be FedRAMP authorized, we're also a systems integrator. So we're in there actually deploying these services in a manner that helps a customer achieve compliance. But we're also a defense contractor ourselves. So we were one of the first companies to go through a joint surveillance audit. So we're kind of eating our own dog food and we're, one of the biggest customers of our own products, right? So we want to make sure that customers can do everything that they want to do. And I personally am seeing a little evolution in my customers where they are moving their defense users into an isolated environment because they want to enable those end users with more technologies because they've been so restrictive. You know, hey, we can't have meetings and share a screen. We can't record meetings. We can't share files with external parties. Instead, we need to bring them in as a guest, give them a license, and have them operate that way. Cloud has completely changed the name of the game. These regulations have completely changed the name of the game. And now it's all about how do I empower my defense business to do more and innovate faster, win more revenue. And, you know, that's what I'm working with customers on is how can we bring them to that next level and help them digitally transform?
That's great. And that's a good way to end this thing. So thank you again for being on here. We're just trying to bring as many perspectives as we can to this space. And you just nailed, I think, it right on the head is that things are different than they used to be. And if you're listening here and you want to better understand how to leverage Microsoft and their solution set and their infrastructure, reach out, reach out to us. You can submit through our website. We'll get you in contact with Justin. You can reach out to Justin probably on LinkedIn. I'm sure you've got some, I know you're very active there, which is good, but it's something that aligns well with us. And that's exactly right. As we were able to do similar approaches and now having something that's FedRAMP moderate, equivalent for as QuickTrack's leveraging of Microsoft is now. And spoiler, that's what the next episode is going to be about coming up here soon. It's been really, really exciting to your point to help specifically the small to medium sized companies figure this out and start to go with more confidence and more of a strategic plan into their work with the government and the DoD specifically. So Justin, thank you again for coming. I think we'll have you on again as the year goes on, because in the next 6 months and 9 months, 12 months, the world's probably going to look a little different in some areas too. And we'll make sure that we keep a finger on that pulse. Is there anything else that you want to direct people to reach out to you?
I would encourage everybody to be part of the community, right? Be active and engage other people that are going through the exact same challenges that you are. And if you need help connecting with someone else of similar size, and you want an introduction to someone, like reach out. Glad to help you and glad to share lessons learned where I can. So again, Derek, thanks for giving me the platform to come and talk to folks today. And thanks for all the amazing work that you're doing for the defense community and you know, your partnership with Microsoft.
Well, thank you, Justin. I really appreciate it. And so from here, if you're looking for future episodes, again, find us on your favorite platform. Go to www.quicktrack.com. Find the podcast page there. And we will take care of everybody on the next one. And Justin, enjoy the rest of your week.
Thanks, man. Have a good one.
You too.
Thank you for listening to this episode. And make sure to subscribe to the Quick 10 Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And check us out on YouTube as well. For more information about QuickTrack, visit our website at www.quicktrack.com. That's C-U-I-C-K-T-R-A-C.com.